As we stand, let us pray. Lord, we pray that you would, this morning, you would open our eyes and our ears to hear your word and our hearts to know what it is you have for each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please do take a seat. So today we continue to look at the book of Job. Last week, Jenny preached about suffering and how Job suffered and talked on that really hard subject of suffering. And I guess that fantastic sermon probably touched on something close to each of us or for those who are close to us. And if you missed it, I recommend that you go to the website and listen to it. It's by far one of the best sermons I've ever heard on suffering. And because I'm involved in that kind of work, I can say it was really, really good. So we turn to the book of Job. Impatient, heartbroken, grief-stricken Job gives God an earful. Chapter after chapter, as Jenny said last week, Job howls and howls at God, speaking to God in ways that do not sound like a righteous man, and demands an answer to the question that we probably have all asked at some time: why? For 28 long chapters of time, Job complains to God, and God, it appears, has nothing to say. Which is, perhaps, I'd like to suggest, the greatest loss of all to Job: the loss of God. By the time we get to the 38th chapter, Job has just about had it. He'd been through a horrible time where he'd lost everything from his house to his self-respect. He owned nothing material anymore. He was wrecked with illness. His wife had left him, and Job had but a few friends left, if you could call them that. And they showed up to pay a visit, but his friends are no help, really, placing all the responsibility for every misery right at Job's feet, as was the belief at that time. And the worst thing of all, worse than anything he could ever imagine, was that God, who had been so much part of Job's life, such an important part, the God that Job had built his very purpose for living on, seemed to be nowhere, seemed to be hiding and absent. In fact, no matter where Job looked, God seemed to be missing. And as Job sat on a pile of ashes, scraping his sores with a broken piece of pottery, Job cried with an anguish at the deepest hurt of all, the absence of God. God, for him at that moment, was silent, and for him was nowhere to be found. In 23, Job says, "If I go forward, he is not there, or backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left he hides, and I cannot behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him." It's this week in our story, in our reading, that things change for Job. When Job cannot find God, God finds Job. God himself finally speaks. And when God speaks in some of the most powerful and wonderful poetry of the Hebrew canon, God, to Job, thunders out of the storm, as we heard in our first line. Or in some translations, it says out of the whirlwind. And that's often where people hear God's voice in the Bible, to remind Job what he had forgotten. That all those hours of anguish that he felt absent from God, Job could have remembered the story of faith and rested in the assurance that God was there. God reminded Job and invites us to remember. And there's such a powerful thing about story, the power of our story and seeing who God is in our story and in his story. I wonder what your favourite story or your favourite book was as a child or young person. I have always loved stories and reading, even though when I was younger I struggled quite a lot. But one of my favourite books, and sometimes I still read it, was a series by Laura Ingalls Wilder. The first book was called Little House in the Big Wood, and it went on to Little House in the Prairie. It became a television scene, but I loved those books and would return to them. I love the story. And also, I love The Secret Seven. Not the Famous Five, didn't go for them. Secret Seven, they were my bag. I love that. I tried to live their adventures sometimes with my brothers, who weren't always very cooperative. For my children, when they were really little, it was the book Dear Zoo. I read it so many times that I knew it off by heart. It starts, and even now, I haven't got it written down, I know it starts, I wrote to the zoo to send me a pet. And I can continue on, but I won't, don't worry. And as I'm reminded when I reminisce with my children this story, they can recite it too, because it was much loved and it was part of their life. We often remember those stories, those favourite stories of our childhood, and they've become part of our story. But it might not just be books, it may be television or films or programmes that were part of your story. When God spoke to Job, or should I say finally spoke to Job, he reminded him of who God was and his story. He began by asking, as we heard in our reading, a series of questions. God himself finally appeared out of the storm to remind Job of a story. Who made the foundations of the earth? God asks. Do you remember the story? Who laid the cornerstone of the earth while the morning stars sang together and the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Who gave birth to the sea and told it, this far you shall come and no further? Who commands the morning and knows the way to the dwelling of light? Who tilts those water jars of the heavens to bring rain to the earth? Who has bestowed wisdom and given understanding to you? Who, Job, remember? Remember the stories of my creative power, God says, providential care and divine orchestration. Remember. And suddenly, even though the pain didn't go away, and if you continue to read through Job, Job starts to understand. He had heard from the time that he was born, story after story, about a God who had spun the universe into existence, who had planted trees, created living things, who had controlled and the changing of the seasons, the pull of the tides. A God who carefully crafted and powerfully manages our world today. And gave us free will to do what we would like. I wonder, however, for how many of us we have felt the absence of God, a bit like Job. Times when God has felt so very far away that the connection to him feels broken, that he doesn't hear us, doesn't know us, or is hiding, or perhaps is just absent. We can left, and I know, feeling rejected, lonely, and empty. Even when being with other Christians or even sitting in church, we can feel numb and alone, if you like, abandoned by God. I've just returned from the pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and while we were there, we visited several deserts. The desert was hot and dusty, barren with only scrub vegetation. It felt really uncomfortable and unhospitable, and it stretched out for miles and miles and miles. So unforgiving. For us sometimes, and for me in my life, our faith journey can feel a bit like that. I know I've had many desert times, and I've felt abandoned or forgotten by God, that he just isn't hearing me. And sometimes those times can be when we were suffering. When my dear old mum was suffering and coming to the end of her life, she would often say to me, "I can't feel God anymore. He stopped talking to me. Where is he when I need him?" I became sometimes her chaplain as well as her daughter. We would look back over things in her life when God had been very present. Like when one of my brothers was really ill from pneumonia and it was touch and go. She had told me at that time that she felt God right there with her in the room. How seeing her grandchildren arrive and growing, so wonderfully different and so wonderfully made, reminded her of the awesomeness of the Creator God. So many things in her story when she could remember God being there in good times and bad. She also found him in the pages of her Bible, a Bible that I had to buy her because her eyesight was getting bad and she couldn't read, so I brought really big print for her. In her favorite passages, the ones she remembered, when she couldn't pray, I would pray for her and with her. When she could no longer read, as the cancer really took hold, she would sit and stroke the pages of her Bible. She had, as she told me, found God again. In my work at the hospice, part of the privilege of what I do is to listen to people's stories. What they have done, who they are, who their family is. It is through listening to them that we as a team, as part of family support, and me as spiritual care person, can help them find that voice inside. What I like to call everyone's soul voice. For us, we know that part is God and his spirit. I help them to find it so it can help them through the hard times, just as God came and was helping Job. So remembering where God is on our journey, all those things that have helped us, can help us at those times. Just like Job, when God reminded him of the story when he knew from when he was little what God had done, so we can be reminded. As many of you know, this year has been quite hard for me, and I'm sure it has been for others. And this isn't about the poor me's. There has been a lot of times when, for me, God has felt very far away, or just not there at all. When I have sat amongst you to worship, and in my heart have been crying out, "God, where are you?" I have felt in the desert, empty and lonely, not sure which way to go, not hearing God. And C.S. Lewis describes it like this in A Grief Observed. Meanwhile, where is God? This is one of the most disquieting symptoms. When you are happy, so happy that you have no sense of needing him, if you turn to him then with praise, you'd be welcomed with open arms. But go to God when your need is desperate, when all other help is in vain, and what do you find? A door slammed in your face and a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. After that, silence. You may as well turn away, C.S. Lewis says. And yes, there were times in this year, and I'm sure there will be times in the future and in the past, when it has felt like God has bolted that door and even thrown away the key. And I have mourned for that closeness of God. But I have hung on because I have looked back through my life at my story. If you like, all the things I've been through, and seen where God has been there. I read again scripture like Job that I know and like my mum. And I feel that intimacy with God in that parched desert. I have the hope that Jenny talked about last week as well, that God will come again. He will arrive when I least expect it, and in fact he has, as a spring in that desert, as an oasis. And that is the hope that I carry all the time through the grace of God that we have in our Saviour Jesus, it tells us in our gospel reading, that he will never leave me or forsake me. And even though it may not feel, and it may feel differently for me, he's there. There are certain times in your life and in my life where it may feel as God is hiding, as I've just said, and that we feel that strong absence. We don't feel God walking beside us, but what can we do? We can remember Job and remember God telling him and reminding him of his story. We can remember the grand story of God who so desired a relationship and an intimacy with us that he laid the foundations of the earth and created human life, formed us into creatures of his image and began the grand story of salvation from Noah to Abraham, from David to Joshua, and of course, by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to be here on earth, so we would know that he knew how it would feel. And as I stood in the Garden of Gethsemane on our pilgrimage, where Jesus cried out, my God, when he wrestled with God, it is that same thing that we have to do. We have to remember that however we're feeling, it's not God who has gone, it's us that just can't feel it. This God who has been in relationship with all humanity since the beginning of time is the very same God we feel that we cannot always see. But if we tell the story, if we listen again to our story and its power, we might be able to help ourselves through those hard times, to remember that God is walking right beside us as he has from the beginning of time and will do into eternity. The story that we have, our story, God's story, is that God is here right now, right in the middle of everything that we go through, that God is never going to leave us alone, just as he was for Job, through all that suffering and pain, even though we cannot find him sometimes or feel him being with us, there is something, and it's something I hold on to, even by the tips of my fingers, that in the mess, in the sadness, in the aloneness, in the quietness, that voice will come out of the storm, refresh and assure me that God is with me. God loves me, just as he loves each and every one of us. And that, our story, the story of Job, the story of all those other people throughout the Bible that merge into our stories and our faith stories. God is with us always. And as we sung that verse in our song, when I was lost, you came and rescued me, reached down into the pit and lifted me. O Lord, such love. I was as far from you as I could be. God will find us. God is still with us. We just have to remember the story. Let us pray. God, in those moments when we feel alone, when we feel you far, help us to remember your story. Remember those stories of your people throughout Scripture. Lord, help us to know but you are right with us, right in it, right in the mess. Help us to hang on to the hope that through the desert times, your spring of water will find us and refresh us again. In Jesus' name, amen.